Okay, now we want to give a new look to the Verlet transformation. And first, we want to prove that the Verlet transformations can be seen as a canonical transformation of coordinates. Again, we only consider one particle in one dimension, just to simplify the notation. And the Verlet transformation is written as equation 1, in which Q and P, lowercase small, they are the position and momentum at time t, and the capital Q and capital P are the position at time t plus delta t. So this is the transformation that we use. And this is denoted, this transformation, saying that capital Q is a function of small q and small p, and capital P is a function of Q and P, small q and small p. Of course, you can also compute the inverse transformation, and the inverse transformation is the transformation that, given the position at time t plus delta t, gives you the original position at time t. Because of the time reversal properties of the Verlet transformation, this is easy to compute. It's just enough to change the sign of delta t and replace old variables with new variables and new variables with the old variables. So this is trivial, but of course you can also do it algebraically, solving the equation 1 to get equation 2. There are several different ways that you can use to prove that a transformation is canonical. One way is to show that there exists a generating function g that is a function of the old and new coordinate, small q and capital Q, such that relations 3 hold. It is easy to verify that the function, which is written explicitly on the note, has this property. For instance, you take the derivative of g with respect to small q, you get an expression that depends on the small q and capital Q. Then you replace capital Q with its expression at the first line of the page, and then you immediately see that everything cancels and you are left with small p. The same happens in the other case. You take the derivative of dg over dq, capital Q, get again an expression, and then you take this expression, you replace small q with the expression in terms of the new coordinates in equation 2, and that you get minus capital P. So this allows you to prove that the transformation is indeed canonical. Now let's see what are the basic properties of a canonical transformation. The idea is that we have a system, a Hamiltonian system, so that the evolution of Q and P are governed by Hamilton's equation. If we do a canonical transformations, the evolution of the new variables is still controlled by Hamilton's equations in terms of a new Hamiltonian, which is H2, and it is obtained simply by considering the old Hamiltonian and replacing the old coordinates with the new ones. So this is the way in which you obtain the new Hamiltonian. And of course, this means that if you take the time derivative of capital Q and the time derivative of capital P, that can be computed in terms of the time derivatives of small q and small p, then these equations, which are written page 1, can be rewritten as in the last line of page 1, as Hamilton's equations in terms of the Hamiltonian H2. Of course, for this to happen, the transformation has to be canonical. And of course, this happens if the several relations between some partial derivatives of the coordinates hold. And this is done explicitly. This is checked explicitly in the appendix. I don't want to go into the details, but you can easily verify using the expressions in the appendix that indeed the expressions for Q dot and P dot, capital Q dot and capital P dot, can be rewritten as in the last line of page 1. The equation which interests us is the relation between the Liouvillians. So we consider the Liouvillian in the original coordinates in terms of the original Hamiltonian H, and the Liouvillian in terms of the new coordinates in terms of the Hamiltonian H2. And then we have the relation, which is proved in the appendix, relation 4. Let's try to understand how to read this equation. Well, this equation tells us the following. So let's first understand what the left-hand side means. It means the following: take an arbitrary function of coordinates and momenta. So suppose it is a function of the new coordinates and new momenta. So we first replace the new coordinates and new momenta with the old ones. And so we get a function, which is called f here, small f here, which is a function of small q and small p. Then we apply the differential operator, the Liouvillian, and we obtain a function which is small g of q and p. So this is the left-hand side. The right-hand side instead is computed in this way. We take again the function a, but now we apply the Liouvillian IL2 in terms of the new coordinates and in terms of the Hamiltonian H2. So once we do all the derivations, we differentiated the function, we obtain a new function, h, small h, which is a function of the new variables. Then we express the new variables in terms of the old variables, and we obtain a new function, g2, of the old variables. So the statement 4 is essentially the statement that the function g obtained using procedure A is equivalent to the procedure B. Essentially, what is happening is that we can first replace the old coordinates, the new coordinates with the old ones, and then apply L, or first apply L2, the Liouvillian, but in the new Hamiltonian, and then do the replacement. These two procedures commute. So you can first make the substitution, all new coordinates into the old ones, and apply L, or you can first apply the new Liouvillian and then do the transformation from the new coordinates into the old coordinates. So this is the meaning of relation 4.